I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe this will be someone's year. It's definitely not going to be JT and myself, but our guest very much could be, and we'll get to him very shortly. It is the SC Report. It is round six. We've got plenty to discuss. It's not like he went into here taking over. JT's very happy with that because he doesn't have to host for a night. Justin, back from Dolby. How are you going?
Yeehaw, man. I'm off the leash. Unscripted. Uncensored. But how are you here, mate?
You're always unscripted.
Isn't Maps on right now, mate? What's doing?
Well, the trick to watching that show is to watch it about an hour delayed so you get to skip through all the ads, mate. So you're kind of doing me a little bit of a favor here.
Or just not watch it at all. But anyway.
Well, that would just be inappropriate, Justin. Anyway, let's move along. We've got lots to get onto in this week's SC Report. And we did at the start of the show say we've got a very special guest. And this week we're joined by Alex Christie, who's been absolutely smashing it so far in Supercoach. I'll let him talk about where he's sitting at the moment, where he's ranked, and we're going to spend a little bit of time running through a bit of his strategy and what's been happening this season. So pretty excited to have him on. Alex, how are you going? Thank you very much for being on board.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. Happy to talk Supercoach and ready to get into it.
Well, you don't sound very excited, mate, but I hope those spirits lift up by the end.
The beers haven't kicked in yet.
Excellent. What are you drinking tonight?
On the Northerns.
On yeah. The Northerns? Yeah. I can feel JT's erection from here. That's a bit weird.
He can stay around.
It sounds like we're not that far from each other, so that might go dangerous.
Excellent. Well, we've already started with dick jokes. Fantastic. Let's move along. So let's start, before we start the podcast, let's just do a bit of a reminder. If you do enjoy dick jokes, there'll also be some cheap hooker jokes coming up as well. Subscribe, get them coming, or the podcast comes straight into your feed, wherever you download and stream them and all that good stuff. Also, leave us a review. If you don't like the dick jokes, obviously, please just leave a review and say you like them left out for next time. That helps us and all that good stuff. Okay, so what's on the pod tonight, JT? I'm going to get cracking on this. We've got a people's team update. We've obviously got Alex on board as well. Going to do a big rundown of all the trades, plenty of hot topics that we're going to be covering, and then we'll finish up with our captain and trades for the week. A little bit of an intro into the people's team, JT. I'll let you take that one away, mate. How's that going?
This is your baby, mate. I don't want to steal your thunder there, but basically we've had it on every week. So we're talking about the SC Talk site, the people's team. So I don't actually know how it's going there. I hope you do, mate. You've managed to make all the trades.
Yes, I do. It was a bit of a disappointing week, to be honest. I think it was in the low thousands. So we fell back to around about 7,000th overall. No David Fifita is really hurt. But we're going to make some trades this week to bring in. We brought in Brian Todd last week, which obviously is going to be quite helpful, hopefully, tomorrow night, as I'm sure we're going to talk throughout the podcast. But we've got some trades. The latest article is up on the site. Go in there, comment what trades you want, and we will make them. And then tomorrow for Lakers captains also, we'll have a poll running for that. We get to select the vice captain and the captain. Hopefully we can creep back up to that top 5,000 or so. Okay. Let's move on to the main part of the podcast now, introducing Alex, of course. So, rumour has it, mate, that you're ranked second overall. What's happened? You're first, so you're already starting to choke.
Yeah, no, I've dropped the ball now. I might as well just give it up for the year. I've started off pretty well in the season. I came in after round one and I think I was 22nd ranked. So that's the lowest ranking I've been so far. And then 21st week after, and now floating between first and second. There's still a bit of a healthy gap between myself and third place, so I'm not too stressed after losing the first overall. Now, I've been very lucky. Just made the right captain calls, didn't get any big injuries, didn't get many. I didn't have Tino from the start, so missed a lot of his low 20 and 30s. Now I've been really lucky to start the season, and just hoping it continues from here.
And so how long have you been playing the game, mate, and how'd you get into it?
Yeah, last year was my first year actually playing.
Huge.
Yeah, finished about 560th. Yeah, my dad's been playing it for years. He's been playing, I think, since 2013 or 14. He's always wanted me to get into it, but you know, throughout high school, I wasn't really that interested, and it was only until recently that I thought I'd take it up. And one of his good mates, you guys might know him as Banyo Boy. We call him Sam, and he won it in 2017. So yeah, we're part of. We talked to him quite a bit, and Dad and he worked with each other. They've worked together with for years. So yeah, it was kind of an incentive to get into it and play with him and all his mates.
How does your dad feel about all this? So he's got Rolfie there, who's won the comp. You were winning the comp, and now you're second. What's the best he's ever done?
I think he's finished top 300 before. I couldn't tell you exactly what it was, but he's more head-to-head nowadays. He's I'm not sure he's that invested in overall.
Was it also a situation when you were beating him at like contact sports when you were 11 or something as well?
Yeah, yeah, something along those lines.
So what's your favourite team, mate? You're a Brizzy boy. Surely the Broncos are your side?
I was born in a household where it was, if you like the Broncos, you had to move out. So Dad's from down south, so we're Dragons fans.
We'll see you later.
We're St. George in our household.
Rightio. Well, it's basically the second Broncos team now anyway.
Yeah, essentially. The only one I can really, truly support is Ben Hunt, because I still support the Maroons, so he's going to be my favourite.
Josh McGuire. Moose.
No, he could be our captain, and I still wouldn't really like him.
Who's that eye-gouging captain? So what did you... you said that last year was your first go at it, amazingly finished within the top 1,000, just... incredible. I don't think I've ever done that. I've been playing this for over a decade, but I'm just shit. So what were your key takeaways, and what did you learn last season? Pretty interested to know that.
I'm a big fan of security. I like players with a solid base, especially instead of wings. And that's why I was happy to start the season with Blake Ferguson, even with him having a downer year last year. Because either way, he'll finish with a 35-40 in base. That's why I didn't really... want to start the season with Fifita, and I didn't. I brought him in after the first round because I don't like, you know, players that can get below a 40, especially if they're a forward for me. That's why I'm quite upset with Junior Paula on the weekend getting 37 against my boys. But yeah, I just wanted security. I didn't like the potential to get low scores across the park, and I think that's worked out for me so far.
I mean, that's incredible kind of insight from a guy that's been playing the game for just a little bit over 12 months. I mean, it's certainly more than what JT and I have spoken about on this podcast before. I mean, we started tonight with an erection joke. So it generally goes downhill after the intro, but I think we're going to have a couple of bit of talent on the pod tonight. It's great. So what have you done right so far in 2021, mate? You've already just said you started with Fergo. I was 200 bucks short of starting with him, so that was a bit of a kicker. But what are some of the other players that you've have really helped you in some crucial calls or pods?
Yeah, so I started the season with Jaden Brayley as well. He's not on my side anymore because I flicked him for Cody Walker when they were coming up against the Dogs and Broncos. Didn't work out in my favour really, but his first three games definitely set me apart. Then having my starting second rowers after round one is Fifita, Gus and Barnett. That as well really pushed me up the rankings. And then, like I said before, getting the captain choice right. First two rounds of Teddy's captain, and then Pappy's big scores as captain as well. Definitely helped push me up.
Yeah, okay. And so what's your strategy for the rest of the season? And maybe I think we've had a bit of a quick fire of those questions so far that you've answered well. But maybe we'll spend a little bit of time on this, because are you kind of going straight after points, or are you you're saving trades, are you looking to generate cash? What, I mean, obviously you don't need to let too much out, but what's kind of your general focus and strategy at the moment?
Well, I've been saying to myself that I don't want to chase points, but when I'm up the rankings and everyone else has a Luai, Munster, a Walker, like at the moment on my team, I don't have a gun 5/8 because I know I need to start saving trades. I need to start looking to just set my team for a bit. I know I run the risk of falling behind, especially with the runs that those guys have and the points that they can get. So I probably will look to move in a gun 5/8. And once I've got that, my team is great across the park. So I think at that point I'll look to save it for saving trades for injuries and suspensions, and then getting ready for Origin and buys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the buys are an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I even kind of forgot that they were a thing. We didn't have Origin there last year, and whereas previously that was like one of the biggest things that you were really planning for. But they're back in vogue now, so we need to start thinking about then. And then, so anything else, I guess, that from a strategy perspective or kind of what you're looking at? I mean, maybe what would be good is like kind of how do you do your research? Are you watching every game? Are you, I'm finding that the Fox Sports minis are fantastic at the moment. Are you listening to heaps of podcasts, reading heaps of articles? Like, what are you trying to do to stay on top of everything?
Yeah, I pretty much am just trying to do everything I can, collecting every bit of information I can. When it comes to the analytics of it all, I kind of that does interest me quite a bit, like understanding all the statistics and seeing what players score the best when they're doing certain things. That's just catching my interest. So it's definitely helped me get this far. I am trying to watch every single game just when I'm not working, but no, definitely the Fox Sports minis do help. I have gone onto them recently, but no, I think as well the eye test when watching games and knowing certain players. Like if you're watching Brian Tyler play, you see him involved pretty much in every single set, and that's something I picked up at the end of last year. I did start with Brian Kelly over him, but as soon as Brian Kelly injured, Tyler was my first player in, and I've reaped the rewards from it so far. You know, just pretty much getting every bit of information I can and then comparing it to others, not just getting it from one source, definitely helps.
This is like when Wilfred and My Love Child went in, don't you reckon? He's got the analytical, he's got the technical analysis, all that sort of stuff, watches every game, but he drinks Northerns and hates the Broncos.
Like, it doesn't have to be put on 1.5 speed.
No. There we go, nice little mix. That. I like this guy.
Oh, I think if there was an erection call, Wilfred probably would have jumped off the balcony.
Yeah, you can stay around for those.
So you, history as a league man, mate, did you play a fair amount of league kind of growing up, or have you just really loved the game and you've always watched it?
Always watched it because it was all around my household. It was my dad's main sport, so it was always on. Played league only as a junior, but I mainly played just a variety of sports. So I've pretty much played every sport there is. But yeah, league was always the main one that I watched. Never really watched many other professional sports in Australia, but yeah, league's always been around. And then especially since finishing high school and, you know, growing up a little bit, I got more into it, and Supercoach definitely helps. Just even it makes every game entertaining, which you never normally find unless you're playing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does. I mean, I think for everybody that's played it, it seems to be a pretty consistent call to say that they watch more games now because of Supercoach, which is it's a fantastic thing. All right, mate, thanks for everything. I guess let's get stuck into the main part of the podcast. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes or so discussing trades, and love your input throughout that. JT, the first thing that we're going to talk about is around rage trades. So plenty of underperformers last week or the week before. The names that I'm seeing here, I've got many of those players in my side, so I'm quite frustrated and looking to move them out. Let's start with Roberts, hey, what are your thoughts there?
Oh, that was such a bad effort on the weekend, wasn't it? Like, we've held him around for these sort of games. We think he's the Jet. He's got a history in this game. And
Jimmy,
all that
no Jet,
there.
Mate.
Exactly. And he like, in a side that scored 30 points, he scored like 15 in Supercoach. It was unbelievable. It was such a bad effort. So he's been absolutely in the firing line. The only problem is he's 250-odd Ks. He's lost cash. It's just a horrible scenario to be in. So the only reason I'm holding him is the fact that he's so low in value, really, and he's playing the buy. Well, playing in inverted commas, because you just don't know if he's even going to last with form. He's a terrible guy to have. Alex, you sound like you have a pretty well shorn up centre wing. Do you have this guy in your side?
Thank God, no. Yep. No, I didn't. He was one that I was kind of flirting with in the preseason, but I didn't end up pulling the trigger. It's definitely helped not having him around. But in regards to trading him, yeah, that's the thing. He's so low in value. He's not really going to lose much more money.
Hmm.
So it's one that it's definitely understandable trading out, but you're not really losing much from keeping him. So I'd assume there'd be bigger problems. Like if you've got a Ricky in your team, he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be losing more money. So I'd say he's more of a trade out than someone like James Roberts.
Yeah, particularly, we've got another guy on this list as well, Tezzy New. So he is out of the side completely, which is a bit of a shock, as we said last night on the pod there. The fact that he's been scapegoated, he's, I think, about 100-odd K more expensive than Roberts. So immediately there, you're able to flip him up to someone more valuable. So I think a lot of people wanted to get rid of Jimmy the Jet, but he's just, by virtue of being so shit, sticking around in our site. Yeah. And you got him?
Yeah, mate, I've got him, and I've got to hold on to him just for all the reasons that you've put there. I don't have too much to really add to it, to be honest, but should we move along straight to Tessie New? You just spoke to him, so we might as well cover off our centre wings that we've got on the list together. Alex, do you own him?
Yeah, I do have Tessie New, and I did really like him as a Supercoach player, even with him being on the Broncos, because he was one of those players that could create attack for himself, and he did prove that as well. He'd get 35-40 in base and maybe the odd line breaker here, because he didn't need a playmaker to really set him up and help him create any attacking opportunities. Because he's not playing, I'm not really that stressed having him on the pine, because he's not going to be losing any money. He's already made a decent amount. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in the team the next few weeks once they see how great Kenner and Arthur's go. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in there.
I'm pretty flabbergasted, really, that he's out of the side. As a Broncos fan, I guess, you know, they made some big calls last week saying there's going to be huge changes in the two scapegoats of Milford. That's understandable. But then Tessie New, I just don't really get it. And then you look at their current centre combination, and that's just a horror show. So I kind of agree with what you're saying. I'm going to be selling personally just because he's my ticket to Brian Toole this week. If I had somebody else, and I just need the cash basically. But we'll just see how we go. I might end up selling Roberts ahead of him, but that cash will be pretty valuable next week as well, because I've got a trade plan for Brian Kelly. So maximizing the cash and getting rid of Tessie New, probably not going to lose out on too much, I don't think. What about you, JT?
He's my ticket to Brian Kelly this week. So he's not quite valuable enough that I can go to Toto. So unfortunately going the cheaper option there. But a little sad to see him go, because he was doing pretty well. As Alex was saying, he gets work done out there. He's just not getting enough ball. And I thought that was the main problem, not his defense or anything like that. So anyway, he was a more reliable center wing than some of the other clowns I've got, like Saab and Simo and Roberts. So sad to see him go, but I think he just has to.
It's just horrific at the centre wing this year. Speaking of the centre wing, one guy that I've added late to the run sheet, sorry, JT, to catch you off guard here, but I think he's worth talking about, and that's Capewell from the Panthers. Obviously, dual position, second row forward as well, but he's on the chopping block for me this week. He's one of probably about two or three guys that I'm going to be looking to move on to make the cash to generate to get Brian Toole into my side. My main thoughts with it are that if he's playing a pretty poor side, and it's pretty improving this year, he's not playing the full minutes. I think the only two games this year he's played over 70 minutes have been against the Storm and the Raiders. Outside of that, he's been playing 50 minutes or so, and his PPM's just pretty poor on the edge. And without the attacking stats, he's going to be scoring 30 to 40. So he's potentially peaked in value now. I think break-even's around about 90-odd, I think. So he's definitely an option as a trade-out for me this week, despite having a pretty favourable matchup against the Broncos. What's your thoughts on Capewell, Alex? Would you be looking to move him on, or is he somebody you want to keep around in your centre wing?
I think he is one of the more keepers in the centre wing position. I can't really argue with people who are thinking of trading him out, because he doesn't bring a lot of high-class value to the team. So if you can afford to bring in a Brian Toole or someone like that for him, definitely make that trade. But for myself, I'm going to be keeping him. At the moment, I have him up in my second row. Can't really find a way to get him to my center wing just yet, but I'm not that stressed about it. He's still getting minimum 40s. While it's not fantastic, it's what I'd expect from like a him or Fergo. I've got them on like basically the same tier. because if Capewell's not scoring tries, he is getting around that 40 mark. And if he's in my centre wing, that's what I want. Again, that's security there.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually got him in my centre wing as well, which is quite frustrating. So I'm looking at maybe moving him on to a Condon this week, potentially. And the other guy that I'm looking at as well, and we haven't got on who we're looking to trade in at the moment, but is Matthew Lodge. So he's got scores of 41 and 54 in his return back from that hamstring injury. Still priced around about 300K with break even of 17-ish. So if I can make almost 200 grand of trading Capewell to Lodge, I think that's seems to be a relatively good trade. What are your thoughts, JT?
It's interesting because Lodge came out in a presser and said he reckons the Broncos are more talented than Penrith, their opponents this week, but that he backed up, was it Alex Glenn who came out and said people should start getting dropped, including him if he needs to. So I don't know that you can really trust the Bronco in this 2021 day and age, mate. They just...
Well, can you trust a Cowboy, mate?
You can, Ben Condon. Yeah, absolutely. Yeehaw.
Can you really, though?
We're in the winner's circle. I'm not going back now. But no, I mean, it's a fair call because a few people were talking about Lodge at the start of the year. He had a bit of a mishap there, but he's back. So still got the starting spot, and that was the big question mark. So interesting.
Minutes as well, 50 and 46 over the past 2 weeks.
Just back on Capewell, and it's a question I wanted to ask you guys. So last week I was tossing up between him and Tyron Peachy. Peachy had a bit of a shit week the week before, and I ended up going Peach. But it's amazing, like, would you sit there now and say that you'd rather have Peachy in your side than Capewell, or is Peachy still too exotic a player? Alex, what do you reckon, Peachy or Capewell as of now?
I think previously Peachy, but with the runs coming up, Panthers only play like one or two top eight teams out of the next 10 or something crazy like that. So there's more potential for attacking stats for Capewell, yep. Whereas their base is probably about the same. So personally, I'd say Capewell, but again, it's one of those, it's a win-win if you have the choice of either.
Hmm. I mean, I'd probably say that the higher upside is with Peachy, as like we've seen in a couple of these games this year, albeit the Capewell's got the Broncos, then he's got Newcastle have been severely underperforming this year, then Manly, and then the Sharks in round 9. Who knows what's going to happen with them now, given that Morris is gone, before two really tough games against the Titans and the Panthers before the first bye round. And it's important to note as well that he's probably going to be origin bound as well. So you need to ship him out. So if I do hold him, I'll be looking to probably trade him before that Titans game. So get a couple of nice, easy games in there and then try and ship him off to a centre wing that's going to cover that that round 12, I think, is probably the smarter play. Okay, let's move along to, I don't know why he's on the list really, but he is. Teddy. What are we talking? Surely we're holding Teddy.
He's been on the list every week.
What are you doing, mate? It's back. We're back to back 70s, and people are freaking out and want to sell it. Yep.
Yeah. Look, I can. That's one of the things. I can't really bring myself to trade Teddy. It was one idea that I thought about and kind of played around with, but I just can't bring myself to do it because he's one of those guys that can drop 100 on anyone. He could drop 120 against Melbourne this week. Who knows? He and Sam Walker were looking a bit better towards the end of that game last week, so I think they're getting more familiar with each other on the field, and that's going to be dangerous because Sam Walker is an incredible playmaker. He's definitely up there on Kiri's level, will be up there on Kiri's level pretty soon, I reckon. I can't find a reason as to why people would want to get rid of him that quickly, other than maybe the money.
Well, I think you've missed the boat. I think the time to do it would have been to Latrell last week. So what they played the Bulldogs and then the Broncos. That was the opportune time to do it. Teddy's lost 100K over that period, whereas Latrell's produced 100-plus score and then another solid one as well. So I wouldn't be doing it now. I think you've kind of missed the boat. And it's important to point out as well, the Roosters play the Dragons, Knights, Eels, Cowboys and the Broncos ahead. So you're going to want him for those games. Even the Eels is a very winnable game or a good scoring game potentially for Teddy as well. And I do like the fact that Lindsay Collins is back in the side now as well. I think that should help them, particularly up the middle. I think that's what killed Tedesco last week. I think the Sharks are pretty good there. I don't think it was so much about having Kiri out of the side that was that much of an impact. But, yeah, I'd certainly be holding him now. What's your thoughts, JT?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, mate. I think last week was the week to do it, but I don't like that whole strategy trying to sell big. I just think you don't bother looking at break evens with guys like Teddy. 150 is really nothing to him based on what we've seen before. So if you start looking at those and trying to get in players and chase last week's points, we've seen it time and time again. It just goes awry. Like, Alex, I don't know if you noticed last year, all those players, those on the bubble players, you get like your Brett Morris's that go skyrocketing. It was Gareth Widdop one year. Everyone tries to, you know, sort of sell high and bank some cash. Is that something that you implemented last year? Did you look at selling a gun who might be falling in price?
Yeah, I definitely would have finished high in the rankings last year, but I made the rookie mistake of selling Teddy when he was out for like just one game.
Yep.
I just couldn't, it didn't feel right having 800 grand sitting on the pine. And then after I made that trade, I couldn't bring him back the week after. And that was the week he dropped like 199 or something like that. So yeah, if I had that or even him a captain, who knows, I might have finished in top 100 or something like that. So I've definitely learned from that mistake. I don't know if it's a case of not selling a keeper. It's just you need to have a way to bring them back in. So in that, like an example, I did sell Cleary when he was out for that game a couple of weeks ago for Ben Hunt because Ben Hunt would make money. I was planning on keeping Hunt for two games and then flipping him back to Cleary. Unfortunately, Hunt did get injured, still managed 40, so he made about 50 grand, and I still got Cleary in next week, so didn't miss out on any Cleary points, still made a bit of money. I did have to waste two trades for it, though.
Mm. Again, pretty lucky because he broke his leg, right? So that could have been, you know, nothing. So 40 points is great.
I think the one thing, just before we move on to the next player, is not so much a money thing, but it's a points-driven thing as well. So if you've got, particularly in that fullback position where you've got Ponga that's just hitting it now, you've got Turbo that's back, you've got Latrell, you've got Gutho. If any, and I haven't looked at the draw close enough for those players, but if any of them have got like the Bulldogs, Broncos, Manly 3 weeks in a row, I'd be relatively tempted to trade a Teddy or a Pappy. Just for the 3 weeks to try and get the points, and yeah, you might make some cash, but just trying to try and generate as many points as you can throughout the season in that fullback position. I don't think it's a bad strategy, but yeah, it all depends on how many trades you've burned elsewhere, I think. Next player we're going to talk about, I think this is pretty clear-cut sell for all of us, but to Ricky at the Broncos, is anyone disputing that he's one of the main trade-out targets this week?
No, agreed.
No, definitely agree. He's made his money and that's what he was in everyone's team to do. He was never going to be a keeper and now his BE is going to be way higher than he'll score this week. So, yeah, definitely a sell.
Excellent. Mitch Barnett. So he's obviously started the season fantastically, had the goal kicking for a majority of the games where Pong was out. We know there was the game that he had the crook leg and he lost it to Hoy. Pong are back, taking over the goal kicking. That fairy tale of Bennett with Barnett retaining it with Ponga coming back has not come to fruition. So big question to ask now, do we consider him to be a keeper in the second row or do we think that he's probably going to be a 50 to 60 plotter? Now, I'm probably more in the category that he's going to be a 50 to 60 guy. And that's why I'm kind of leaning towards selling him actually this week. The Knights draw ahead is really challenging. And I think that it's going to be a bit of a struggle for them over the next month. And I can see Barnett, whilst he might jag one or two attacking stats, I can see his value starting to decline pretty severely. So I'll probably be looking to move him on this week for like a Condon or even a Lodge with the money generated from that to be able to go to bring Toho in. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on Barnett? A, do you own him? And B, regardless of whether you own him or if you don't, would you be looking to move him on?
Yeah, I do. I know my thankfully started with him, so I got all these big scores even up to now. Yeah, it's a tricky one because the run over their next after this week against the Sharks, I've got Penrith, Sydney, Canberra, which are just three incredibly tough games for him. And yeah, I can't see him really getting any attacking stats in those three games unless maybe he's moved to 5-8 due to injury or something like that. Yeah, if he's averaging 55 to 60 over those three games or even here on out, I don't see him as being a keeper in the second row. I think the tough thing is whether you bring in another second row that you consider a pot or a keeper for the rest of the season, or if potentially you bring in like a Ferguson, Brian Kelly, a Gagai, someone like that in the second row for him, and maybe move Capewell up to second row, or if you have another second row to put in there. That's a decision I'll have to make pretty soon. I don't see myself keeping him for too much longer, but he'll be in my team this week.
Just a bit of a a different way to look at it potentially, and having a look at his upcoming draw. It's pretty difficult in round 9, but then round 10, you've got the Tigers, Cowboys, and then the bye round, he plays Manly. Also covers round 16 with the game against the Cowboys. So there's a potential option here, and I know this is almost like something that's unthinkable and what we normally wouldn't do, but selling him this week at his high value at 600, see that price dwindle down, and then trading him back in round 11, getting him in hopefully a discount like under 500K, and then holding him up into round 17 and again trading him out, because he's going to take the goal kicking with Ponga playing Origin over the two bye rounds. Has got some pretty easy weeks there as well. So it's potentially a bit of a money ball kind of look at it there. What are your thoughts with that one, Alex?
No, I definitely like it, and I can see myself 100% doing that, because it was always in the back of my mind that Barnett will probably be a sell next week, despite me always saying that I need to save trades. I just can't see him bringing any value to the team that someone 200 or 100K cheaper, they'll probably bring the same amount of value to the team. So yeah, no, that's definitely planned. And once they start playing the Tigers, Cowboys, Manly, and so on from round 10, if he's, you know, proven that he has proven that he can get attacking stats, and especially when Pong is out, he'll be goal kicking. He's definitely someone to have on your side around that time. So if you can make that, if you can sell him for 600K roughly and bring him back for around 500K, that's definitely worth it, and something that most people should look into.
All right, well, maybe I do know a thing or two. That's good. JT, what about you?
I'm pretty ambivalent to selling him or holding him.
Ambivalent? That's a big word for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't had a Northern tonight.
So. The whole time out at Dolby, mate?
It was. no, I mean, for me, anyway, I'm holding him because I think he can bang out a decent enough score, probably high 60s is be about the max, I reckon, for him, which isn't, you know, anything to sneeze at. But, you know, I've got other problems elsewhere, so keeping a guy like Barnett around, I know you're selling him probably at the highest value he's going to get, so there's theory to it, and I get that. And bringing him back in is you know, also in theory a pretty good move, but for me, we've got problems elsewhere. So he can stay, going to play him. Hopefully he gets across for a try or two.
I've got plenty of problems, but I need to generate some cash, and I've got some duds in the centre wing that unfortunately aren't doing it. So I guess Barnett's my ticket to some money, so I'd be looking to probably move him out this week. All right. Final player that we're going to talk about before we're going to take a very quick break and then move on to the rest of the trade analysis. And before we do take that break, I'll just outline what we're going to cover. Liddell, so someone that I haven't owned. I don't know if either of you boys started with him, but he's obviously lost the starting role to Simpkin this week. Alex, I'll start with you. Is he a trade out this week, or does someone you just keep on the pine and just wait to see what happens with the hooking combination?
I've got him in the team. It's definitely worth holding because who knows what's going to happen with Simpkins in the hook role now. Not worth bringing someone in if they haven't played a game yet. I was lucky to start with Sam Walker, so it's not really the same thing for me. But yeah, Little's still got a BE of about 9. So if Simpkin goes out and you need to get Little back in, he's still going to make another 50 minimum grand. So it's definitely someone I'll keep until Simpkin's third game. And then I'll look to trade that out, because either way, I'll make money from either Little playing, or the trade will make me 200 grand plus the money Simpkins will make.
Yeah, I think that's a very smart way to play it. JT, what about you?
No, I agree. The only thing would be if on the off chance that Moses Mbai moves in to cover Roberts at centre, and then Little comes in off the bench and, you know, 20 minutes and scores 20 points, he's not going to make a hell of a lot of cash. But obviously for this week, you can keep him around with that BE, but hopefully team lists are kind.
So I think that's all the rage trade, guys, that we're going to talk about. Let's just have a very quick break now, and then we'll be back. But when we are back, we're going to quickly discuss whether it's we need to break our teams for the likes of Fafita and Amoris. There's going to be a couple of cheapies on the bubbles. We're going to talk about them as well. Also have a quick little discussion about the Titans. Are they the real deal? And then we'll finish up with who we're trading and captaining this week. So plenty to come, and we'll see you in 2 seconds.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so the next part of the podcast that we're going to break down is should we break out teams for Fifita and Morris, who have both been going absolutely gamebusters this week? Alex, I think that you just said that, I know you did start with Dave Fifita, but you have recently brought him into your side. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. He was one of the ones I wasn't 100% sure about. He was definitely a matchup player for me. And in second and third round, he was playing the Broncos and Cowboys, so I really wanted him for those two games, and I was lucky to start with Matto. Once Matto got that concussion, I flicked him for Fifita. And it's worked out for me so far. Once he got that 60 in the first game against New Zealand, I kind of thought maybe he's kicked it up a gear this year, and that might be his bottom. And so far, he's kind of proven that. Even against Canberra, when the team scored 4 points, he still managed to get 88 and a really nothing attack side. So I'm very happy with him so far, and it's definitely worth getting into your team. Especially they do have quite a good run out of their next six or seven games. They only really play two tough teams, Penrith and South, but the rest are against the likes of Manly, Broncos, Tigers, Bulldogs. And in those games, you can easily ton up or get another double.
JT, what are your thoughts? If you didn't own him now, would you be doing whatever you can to get him in?
It's hard to now. I think I just don't have the ability to generate enough cash. So I'm just going to...
Oh, you don't own him?
Going to be sitting on Death Ride City, mate. I've got a few players on that list. Got the
lot. Pretty rosy and green over here this side of town, isn't it, Alex?
Only reason I didn't delete team was having Tyron Peachy last week. But I'm just going the Death Ride route. I'm afraid he's just going to keep going in value. I know I've got to get him in, but my thing is he's playing Origin, so he'll miss that week. Unlucky. Anyway, he's due a 30.
Well, I mean, price at 750K, we've kind of seen this before where people shell out the cash and just doesn't work out. So it is a lot of money and there's plenty of good value this week. I mean, if I'm going to be spending, if I've got that kind of cash available, I'm probably spending that trying to bring in Brian Kelly and Brian To'o this week to really strengthen up my center wing. That's kind of the move that I'd do because I think that's going to be better in the long run. And then hopefully, as you said, Fifita's going to have a down game. Albeit that huge score from last week is going to be in his rolling average. So difficult to bring him in at the moment. Also a challenge to bring in is BMOS. Just incredible. So 4 tons out of 5 games. Just amazing. I actually forgot that the Morris twins were still playing. You look at the price at the start of the year and you go, no way, can't back it up. And the guy's just a freak. I think we actually discussed this in a chat that we've got with Bagno, Alex, this week, and we said that, is this unparalleled? And Wilfred, the knower of all, said no, Hayne did this 5 times in a row back in whichever year it was. And outside of that, it's just been a freak show, really. So I don't think you can bring him in. 736K, although the Roosters do have a nice run coming after the Storm game. JT, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's one of those guys. We're just sitting back waiting for the down week and it's just for whatever reason not happening. But as you said, age is definitely not on his side. So I expect in a Rooster side that likes resting their players, he'll definitely cop one or two of those weeks on the sideline coming up. And that's probably about the only solace any non-owners can take. Just having a look at his selection. So he had 3.2K owners in round one and he's now got 17.5. So obviously, people out there have seen the value and jumped on, and those kind of guys would be at the top end of the ladder, along with Alex, I reckon. He's got a fair few trade-ins as well this week. Cody, Jordan, Ricky, they're getting traded out. A few guys there, they're definitely looking at some upgrades. So a few people are breaking their team to bring in BMOS, and they're sort of expecting the role to continue. 4 out of 5 is unreal, though.
Unreal. Alex, what are your thoughts? Is he just too expensive now?
Yeah, he's just... I don't... Yeah, if it's a choice between him and Fifita, you're definitely going to go Fifita route. That's the thing. Fifita's kind of proven this year that his bottom is around that 60 mark. He can hit over that easily without really doing much in the game, whereas Bimos can get a game where he'll get 20 points. As well as that, he is pretty injury prone, and he is getting up there in age, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does get injured. It's something to watch out for. But no, definitely, if you started with him, props to you. Definitely paid off that risk, but I can't see it's worth bringing him in now at this point.
Yeah, I agree completely with you there. So there's two cheapies on the bubble this week, JT. One of them is your boy. One of them I brought in last week is a bit of an early crack just to generate some cash. I'm going to hand it over to you. Are these two traps?
So the one is Topine, Topine. I have no idea how to say it. Apologies to him. And Benny Condon. For me, Ben Condon isn't so much of a trap. Obviously,
it's Tupini, mate.
Tupini. Well, there you go. Did not expect that. Ben Condon, difficult one to pronounce as well. But no, I think he of the two is probably the lesser of the traps. So Condon's won his spot in the starting side the last couple of weeks. Bit of talk in the post-match presser from Peyton, or was it the midweek one this week? And he's just saying he's got a few little things to fix up with his defense. So I think that's always the key with young second rowers. They need to stick tackles to stay in the side. So for now, I reckon he's going to continue churning out those 50-odd minute games. He's just getting used to the hustle and grind of the whole NRL caper. But no, I've liked what he's done out there. He's definitely got a good super coach game. We saw it on the weekend with that try. He's going to make cash, so I can't see anything wrong with it. Long term, he's got Mitch Dunn looming on the bench there, Peter Holler, and also Tom Gilbert in the lower grades. But for now, a bit of faith shown in him, so it's his spot to lose. Obviously, always the risk there, but I think with my cowboy hat on, he's going to stay there for another month or so.
The pace is pretty pathetic. I think he had 39 pure base at 80 minutes in round four, and then 19 in 49 minutes last week. So really heavily reliant on that attacking stats. Young fella as well. Alex, what are your thoughts? Do you think that it's negative break even, hovering around negative 30, under 200K, edge forward? Is it too good to be true?
I can't see too much happening from him. He'll make you about 100 grand. I can't see him really making a whole lot more unless he starts scoring tries. He might go over the line this week against the Bulldogs. So if you're really stuck for options, he's not the worst play in your 17 if you do bring him in. But I can't really see him doing a whole lot more than 150k max in your team. If you do need to trade someone out to make money, like if you're trading out a Capewell or something like that, and you need nothing down to get Fifita in, Connor's definitely a shout because there is very limited options to what you can do. So it's, for me, it's either that or Nuff.
I mean, that's an interesting one that you've brought up about the Bulldogs. And the reason why I was potentially leaning towards Lodge is because you could play him in your 17 if you're desperate, whereas like a Condon, you probably can't. But a game against the Bulldogs, and God help anybody that's going to be watching that on Sunday afternoon. I know you will, JT, but bloody hell, it's going to be a depressing way to finish the round. You could probably play him, JT.
Yeah, I'd be thinking about it if I needed to make up some numbers there. We'll get the 50-odd minutes. I don't think he'll get 80 or anything like that, injuries permitting. But, yeah, we've seen the Dogs aren't the sharpest defensive tool in the shed. But, yeah, you did mention the base and all that sort of thing. I think last week's game, there was, 64 points scored. It's a lot of time, stoppages and that kind of thing. And in that game the week before,
Standing under the post.
Yeah, exactly. We were never in that game last week either, or the week before. So Condon really hasn't had to do a hell of a lot of work. And as a young second row, sometimes they just take a while to get into the game, find the ball coming to them, that kind of thing. So naturally that'll rise.
And I don't want to really dig more salt into the wound, JT. I'm not trying to be a smart ass here at all. It might come out a little bit like that. But doing the analysis yesterday, what I was really surprised about is the Cowboys have literally got no injuries.
We've just lost Michael Morgan. We've got Lolo with a hand issue. We've just lost Reuben Cotter. Who else? Fair few.
Josh McGovern, that's gone. Yeah, Michael Morgan's been absentee for the last 2 years. So I'm talking about our forwards that you've got there, mate. It's what I'm trying to say is that it does seem like he's won that role. It's not like doesn't look like there's people that are to come back into the side. It looks like he's won that role on form, and it's his to hold. Obviously, Peyton's probably to trying to check out this roster a little bit. So there's a bit of a risk there that they could rotate. Okay.
It's interesting that they've actually moved. So Cohen Hess now, he's definitely not a risk of taking back a second row spot because Peyton's just come out and said his role now is in the middle. So he's going to play it prop or off the bench, whatever it is. But he's now another potential option there that's no longer. So again, supports a Condon move.
Yeah, okay. Moving along to Topany. He's a bit more of a risk and potentially more of the trap category, I think you'd have to say. Utility on the bench. I mean, I brought him in last week and the rationale there was that I think he can play up till round 10 and then after round 10 he is taken off because he's on a development contract. So he would no longer be in the top 30. So the thought there was hopefully he can make 50 to 100K over that time and then he's not going to be an AE nightmare and can also then either use him as a bit of enough VC loop option or trade him to a basement depending on how much cash that he makes. So I think that's kind of the way that you need to approach it. Don't think that he's going to be a cash generating machine unless you know all hell breaks loose at the Bulldogs and Barrett just decides just to give him a run in the starting side. I guess the scores that he's got last week of 23 is probably likely what you're going to see. Alex, what are your thoughts on him?
I think he's a quality player and it translates to Supercoach. Like that 23 last week was against Melbourne in a 30-35 minute game from him. So I think he is a quality player, but again, it's just the time he's going to get. So it's just seeing whether or not it's worth bringing in. I think Condon is a better shout than him purely because of the developmental contract. I'm not 100% sure of the details of that. I'm not sure of the restrictions of what he can and can't do, but I think he's a quality player and someone to look at for the future. But this year, probably would look to give him a pass unless something drastic does happen, like you said.
Yeah, look, I think the only restrictions are that he can't start, but then no restrictions on his minutes. And then he has to be out of the side by round 10. So I think that's it. So as we saw, I think in his debut game, Lewis got injured very early on, and then that resulted in him playing 73 minutes. So it's just the fact that he can't start. And who knows what's going to happen with the Bulldogs, right? Same with Condon. They're going to be rotating players a lot, seeing what they've got. Chance that he could play some bigger minute games coming up. Who knows? So definitely not a player that you have to go. But I think I'm encouraged by the fact that he's out of the side by round 10 and that AE nightmare that could just trend for the whole year isn't going to be there. JT, are the Titans the real deal?
You'd like to think so. And it's just so surprising. We've gone from a few years now where you just wouldn't touch any of their players with the 10-foot pole and they were the easy beats. And now they're a tough opposition and we're trying to squeeze as many of their players in as we can. So some of the guys here, we've got Tino, Fifita, Peachy, Kelly Thompson. So Thompson, even Peachy up until this year, those guys you'd never be speaking about in Supercoach parlance. But here we are. I would really argue against a side that had all five of them, to be quite fair. But yeah, I don't know. It's something about them. They play a lot of Arvo games. They've got a good attacking structure. I think they're just going to basically shit Supercoach points all year. Alex, is that how you've read it? Is it sort of a flash in the pan for them? Can they keep this up?
No, I definitely think they can keep it up. And just watching them play, you can tell that there's a lot of them are still trying to find their feet and find their role in the team. That's why you find inflations with Tino. Like the 1 week where he got that around that 90 to 100 score, he was straight up the guts in pretty much every single set and every single tackle. The next week is pushed out to the edge and just wasn't looking involved at all. And you can see he wasn't too happy about that when he went off towards the end of the game. So he wants to be there. He wants to be involved. The same as Brimson. I think he's just still trying to find his role in the team. He's not the main guy in the attack anymore where he was last year. So he's not really his super coach buy at all. Whereas people like Corey Thompson, Brian Kelly, Dave Fifita are definitely up there. So I think they're definitely a super coach worthy team. But footy wise, they're still trying to find their feet, as you saw against Canberra. But no, they're definitely a top eight team. They're definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if people end up with four or five Titans players in their team.
Not too dissimilar to the Panthers, right? And the Roosters. Like, there's plenty of love to be shared around there. I don't think there's any downside with owning multiple players, particularly the style of footy they're playing at the moment. What were you about to say, JT?
Now, I'm just having a look at their run to come. They've got Manly this week, Souths, Broncos, Tigers, Penrith, and then Bulldogs. So a bit of a mixed up and down. So they were pretty poor against the Raiders, who were quite white hot that night. But I think some of their big tests over the coming weeks are, I guess, those Rabbitohs-Penrith games. So in between those, they've got the easy beats of the competition. So you'd like to think if you're bringing in a pretty hot attacking player like a Kelly or even a Peachy this week, that they can go large more often than not over the next month and a half. So I don't know, I really like that draw for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that kind of, you know, carries a lot and speaks quite highly as to why they're playing so well at the moment at training today, underperformed. So Holbrook made them do plenty of extras and that was all over the news. So despite how well they've been playing, they're getting punished on the track for any kind of poor attitude, which is, you know, could determine exactly how far they're going to be going. I think he knows exactly what he's doing, that guy. All right, let's wrap the pot up and finish off with who we're trading and thinking about captaining this week. And Alex, I'm going to hand over to you, mate, to give us a bit of a lowdown of what your plans are for this week.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking, again, despite me saying the whole week that I need to start saving trades, I definitely need to look into bringing in a gun 5'8". So I am looking towards a Luai Walker or Munster. Not 100% sure which one I'm bringing in, but I'm definitely going to be bringing in one of them. In regards to trading out, I can't see Connor Watson being in my team for much longer. I think he's maxed out. Never really saw him as a season-long keeper either. Yeah, he will bring 50s every week, but compared to what, you know, Luai Walker or Munster can do or Reid Marnie, he just doesn't compare. He's made his money. He's up towards the 500k mark, and now his BE is around 66. So I think he's tapped out. And Knights aren't really going to produce him much more attacking stats with Ponga slotting in there.
Where do you have Watson? You
at the moment, he's in 5'8 for me. He's my starting 5'8.
Okay. All right. And can you loop him into hooker at all, or are you stuck with him there?
No, so I've got Reid Marnie and Little up there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so then I'll be flicking Ricky for like a Condon or a Burbo. Again, I haven't really decided who I'm going to be bringing in, but those are the two avenues I'm going to go down this week. And in regards to captaining, there are a couple of different options. This is one of the weeks where it's kind of open-ended. There isn't a really easy choice like a Pappy that like there has been, who's been the clear standout. So I think for me, it's between Pappy and Fifita. The only really tough choice for me this week is which Panther I'm going to VC.
Take a pick, throw a dart.
Yeah. That'll be between Toto, Cleary, and if I bring in Luai, then Luai is definitely in that mix. So I think that's a decision I'm going to be making about 10 minutes before the game. And I'll be at Suncorp Stadium this Thursday watching the game. So I'll be there cheering all the Panthers on.
Nice. Mate, you might have to sign a few autographs after being on this podcast.
Yeah, I think Wilf said he's going to be there as well. It's going to be a star-studded audience.
Oh, yeah, good.
Watch out for the binoculars, mate.
He'll leave at halftime, don't worry.
JT?
Yeah, I don't think we have much to add after Alex. He's the guru here, mate. But I'm trading out Ricky and you, getting rid of the Broncos plague from my side and bringing in Condon, bringing in a Cowboy. And Brian Kelly.
Handsome, mate.
What's that? Well, he's next week, maybe Juzzy O'Neill. But then, yeah, I think similarly with Alex, Watson is on my chopping block. He's up at hooker at the moment. So a couple of weeks' time, I might flip him to Simpkin. So that's in the future plans. But I'm going currently the straight C on Cleary. I don't often do the whole Thursday night straight captaincy. And I just don't like seeing Saab on the bench. I don't like seeing Simo. So I think if I'm going to go with...
Simo's due, mate. He's due.
Yeah, righto. Well, Saab was due last week and he got 40 with a try. So there you go. But yeah, I got the flashing orange light on Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a risk. And I was about to ask you that, Alex, in terms of the VC loop. You're comfortable with that? Who are you looking at for your AE issues?
At the moment, with my reserves, the only two that I have on the pine that are actually playing is Sam Walker and Simonson. So again, they might bang out a 20, but you know, if Cleary gets 150+, then it's an easy loop. And I can take the reserve off Stefano, the Tigers prop. So I'm not too stressed about that.
Yeah, I'm just a bit concerned with the players that JT mentioned, but also like a Jimmy Roberts and stuff like that. Just who knows what's going to happen there. So for me this week, I'm still a little bit undecided. I know that I'm going to be bringing in Brian Toll. The three players that I'm considering trading out at in my second row to create cash is TPJ, Barnett, Capewell. I'm leaning towards Barnett for the reasons that I've said, given the difficult draw coming up. The Panthers have a relatively soft draw, and then I really like TPJ on the edge. And I think he owns a bit of – there's a little bit of upside there, and it's a bit of a pod factor. So I'm tempted just to hold him and just ride it throughout the rest of the season because he's got 90s and 100s in him. Whereas Barnett, I can just see that the next month's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. And then I'm looking to either downgrade to a Lodge or Condon, just depending on how much cash I need for the next week trading in Brian Kelly. And then I'll be looking again to trade out a Tessie New or a James Roberts to Tall. Again, just depends on how much cash that I need based on that first trade that I've made. Interesting thing for Tessie, I've just noted as well, is that for Souths, he's actually lining up for fullback. Can someone just explain that to me? Like, if they're trying to develop him as an NRL centre, he going back to second grade and then playing fullback, what's going on?
More touches the ball. I don't know. A bit more confidence where he might be used to. Not defending in the line. That's, I guess, the biggest problem for him. But yeah, I agree. If you're trying to turn into a centre, you got to go back and get your confidence back up with, yeah, I don't know. It's Broncos, mate. Who knows what Kevy's doing? He was talking about cake at a press conference. He's got no idea.
He's got no idea, mate. Alex, do you think that's a bit weird?
If it makes sense to the Broncos, it doesn't make sense to anyone else. Essentially, the story here. I'm all right with him going back there. I was just looking at the Broncos draw actually, and I'm kind of happy Tessie New has been dropped because they've got Penrith this week, Parra, then the Gold Coast. So I'm hoping he's kind of worked his way back in the squad by round 9 when they've got a bit of an easier couple of games. Yeah, I don't know. Just Broncos in general this season a bit all over the shop. So who knows what's going to happen? He could be starting fullback for them next week, even.
Oh, yeah, very. It's happened last year. So, what are your thoughts on like a TPJ? Would you be holding on to him or be looking to offload him?
With his two really low scores the last 2 weeks, and there's no consistency in his role. Like he could be starting lock, he could be off the bench, he could be second row, front row. I don't really see the value in holding him, especially with the Broncos' tough couple of games, because one thing that really did help his scores at the start of the season were the attacking stats, because he did manage to get the try and all the offloads, but I can't see that happening anytime soon until they start to have easy games around round 9. So if it was the choice between him and Barnett and Capewell, I would be looking to get rid of TPJ myself. But, I mean, each to their own.
No, look, you just completely ruined my plans. Good.
Better listen to him, mate. He's number 2.
I know, better listen to him. Well, I think I'm just going to stick with my gut. Too many times I've listened to JT and it's just backfired. So, but anyway, and then the captaincy, I'm going to be doing exactly what you guys are going to do. I'll either VC or captain straight up Cleary and then captain probably Fifita. I'd say that's probably the move to make. But yeah, that's it. JT, we've done it.
We did. We cleared the hour, unless you want to give us a little maths recap.
Under an hour. Well, no, I haven't started watching it yet. I'm trying to get away for there Jesus. Now.
Yeah, just got to say a big thanks to Alex. Jumped on last night. We tried to get this thing going and it took forever and now he's back on. Bought himself a mic. Like, the guy has not played Supercoach for 2 years. I'm afraid it's Rolfie's burner account. He's just found an eloquent Fortitude Valley living Broncos hater and he's come out and spoken beyond his Supercoach years. It's unreal.
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's the first podcast I've ever done, ever been involved with. So there you go. Hopefully, many more to come.
What a professional one to start.
What a shit show it has been over the past 48 hours.
Yeah, it wasn't enough dick jokes, if you ask me, but it's all right, we move.
I love it. We started with a dick joke, we're finishing with a dick joke. That's it. Well done. Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks again, Alex. Really appreciate it. And thanks, guys, for downloading, streaming. Good stuff and best of luck for this week.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.